we welcome you into another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm Daniel Shopdoss, C70 at the bat, at C70. It's Tara Wellman with me at Birds on the Black and Bird Seeds and everything else, and at Tara Wellman on Twitter, which most of you know, given how you reacted to Saturday's game. I think everybody knows Tara's handle, and she has 872 mentions because of it. So, not that she's complaining. I don't think.
I'll take it.
Right.
I'll take it.
We're recording this as the Cardinals are playing on Sunday Night Baseball, and it was always going to be a conflict, but with two rain delays in the mix, we're only at about the fifth inning while Tara and I are kicking this off. And before we get into all the stuff that's come along this week, I feel like we have to be prisoners of the moment to some degree, and recognize the fact that in the bottom of the fourth, the Cardinals down 2-1, bases are loaded for Michael Wacha, who hits for himself. And we didn't actually hit because he wound up striking out. But Tara, and you and I, we were just talking about this. You've got Mike Myers. You've got a bullpen that is stocked with people. And I know some of those people may not be as available as they should be, but Norris being a notable one. But still, you've got enough arms. You've just got to make your opportunities count. And letting Michael Wacha hit is not the way to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it would be one thing if Michael Wacha had been absolutely dominant up until that point. You know, if he was pitching the game of his life through the first four innings, that's one thing. But he wasn't. He's also been kind of up and down and up and down because of the rain delays. That can't be good for any starting pitcher, but especially one that maybe isn't the most consistent and hasn't really gone deep into games anyway this year. So really, if you look at what he's done most of the season, you're letting him hit for probably one more inning. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure that one more inning is as worth the runs that you would get at that point when you know you're down 2-1 in the fourth inning against a Cubs team that's throwing John Lester, who has looked pretty beatable, but this is sort of what John Lester does. He looks beatable through two or three, four innings, and the Cardinals don't take advantage of the opportunities they have against him, and then he shuts them down for three more innings. So I realize that making the bullpen do that much work after the game that they've had to deal with yesterday going into extra innings, it's a tall order, but it is why it's almost the very scenario that they brought Mike Myers in for. So I don't know, it's definitely strange. It's one of those moments where Mike Matheny still maybe doesn't put as much of an emphasis on taking advantage of those opportunities for offense when it comes at the expense of his starting pitcher. And we've seen all too many times where that choice, that decision has come back to haunt them in the way of losses. And, you know, whether the Cardinals have already won the series or not, when you have John Lester on the ropes, you really can't afford to let him off.
It's a frustrating thing all the way around. And again, there are issues trying to deal with what the bullpen looks like, because of injuries. And we'll kind of just transition to that. The Cardinals finally put Dominic Leone on the disabled list after coming into a game Friday and not actually throwing a pitch that were counted, through a couple of warm-up pitches that couldn't go. Then they lose Bud Norris yesterday to a thing that's two or three days probably. It's supposed to be 2 or 3 days. It's the Cardinals and injuries. You never know for sure. I get that it's kind of hard to decide. You know, Lyons has pitched the last 2 days, although he's only thrown to one batter each time. You know, how much are you going to use? But you have, what, 9 people out there, right? because John Gann is supposed to come up tomorrow to make the start. You have 9 arms in the bullpen, and even when you can't use one or two of them, when you've got a guy like Myers who can eat, you know, just recently had a 3-inning outing. He can go deep into games if he needs to. Now, what those results are going to be, who knows? But he can eat the innings. I think you have to take your shot there. And it's the fact that, yes, the Cardinals rallied against the Cub bullpen yesterday. That is not necessarily what you want to try to do all the time. That was, I don't want to say fluky, because they obviously earned, especially, you know, off of Morrow, but it's still like, not what you, you know, if he comes out there today, he's probably going to shut them down. I mean, that's just the way this goes. So, you know, letting John Lester off the hook that way is troublesome. So, we have all these injuries. We have the pitcher injuries, and then we have Tommy Pham, and then we have Yadier Molina. This team seems to be hit all of a sudden, and granted, this the line of the schedule coming up is a little bit lighter, so that's hopefully going to be okay, but boy, this is tough to deal with when you've got all these guys, and I mean, especially with Norris and Molina and Pham, and even Leon too, but guys that are key contributors to this team, and they're not going to be around for some length of time.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about 3 of the most valuable players, I think, so far for the Cardinals. If Bud Norris had not been what he has been, I don't even want to think about where the Cardinals would be at this point, because they don't have anyone else that has been able to repeat that kind of success in the ninth inning or in not necessarily the ninth inning, but in that closer role, in the guy that comes in when the game's on the line at the end of the night, whether that's in extra innings or if it's, you know, the heart of the order in the eighth inning as opposed to the ninth inning, whatever the case may be. That's been Bud Norris, and he's the only one that's been able to do that effectively. So if he's out for longer than just a couple of days, it's huge. Yadier Molina being out for any length of time dramatically changes what this team does offensively and defensively. Now, I don't know that you build your offense around Yadier Molina, but he's undoubtedly been one of the more consistent hitters for the team so far. So you take that out of the lineup, and you don't necessarily get that same level of production from Pena or from Carson Kelly. And then, of course, with Tommy Pham, again, hopefully just a few days, but this is a groin issue that seems to be reoccurring. He's saying that there are some other issues there as well that may not necessarily be the same issue that he's had the last couple of weeks, but nonetheless, a Tommy Pham that's playing at less than 100%, while still probably better than most players at less than 100%, is not going to be able to contribute in that sort of team-leading way that the Cardinals need from him. So any one of those injuries would have been significant by itself, but for all 3 of them to happen, and 4 if you include Dominic Leon there, for them all to happen in a matter of 24 hours is it's a tough blow. Whether the Cardinals can weather that storm or not, it's still a tough one to watch as all 3 of those guys go down at once.
Yeah, it is, and you do wonder a little bit about Tommy Pham. You know, if this is, you know, again, it feels like it's a continuation of what we saw, what, just 2 weeks ago or so. Should they have disabled him? I guess is the biggest thing. I mean, if there's one thing the Cardinals have, it's a slew of outfielders. You know, you can bring Tyler O'Neill back up or whatever you. I worry a little bit that without letting Tommy Pham rest, we're going to be kind of dealing with this all year long, or it's going to at some point become much more severe. He's going to be lost for a long period of time. I mean, is that reasonable, or is that kind of over the top?
I think it's reasonable. I also would say that while the organization has a plethora of outfielders, they only have 1 Tommy Pham. And, you know, to your point, it's much more valuable to have him for the long term than for, you know, three games and then he sits two. That said, I think that you're going to have a hard time forcing Tommy Pham out of the lineup anywhere at this point, especially after making it so public how hard he had to fight for that spot. But I also think, just from any human perspective, you look at this lineup without Tommy Pham contributing, and while he's sort of battled this issue off and on for the last couple of weeks, he's also come up with some of the biggest hits in the biggest moments for this team when he has been on the field. So you think about taking that out of the lineup for any length of time, and you take away a huge chunk of the offensive production that has really been at a premium. I mean, the Cardinals scored 8 runs last night, but before that, runs had been tough to come by for about a week or so, and when they did, more often than not, Tommy Pham's right in the middle of it. So, you know, it's certainly not unreasonable to see a recurring injury and think maybe they should get ahead of this rather than waiting until it's too late, like we've seen them do a number of other times. But it's also really difficult to, especially with the division series that have been involved in the last couple of weeks, it's hard to sort of knowingly take that offense off the table, even if there are guys with power like O'Neal or, you know, some of the other guys in Memphis that can come up and do what they do. It's just not what Tommy Pham does.
And that's true. You do worry about if it's a groin issue, that limits somewhat of what Tommy Pham does as well. But like you said, I mean, obviously, it hasn't been too severe over the last couple of weeks because he has had some major moments. And in fact, I feel like the best lineup that we have right now is Pham leading off, and then I guess Carpenter hitting second. And you can argue maybe Carpenter doesn't need to be there, but if he's going to be in the lineup hitting second, it's just not something we thought much about. I mean, we spent most of the summer or this winter talking about, you know, does Fowler lead off or does Carpenter lead off, and we never really gave much inclination to have Pham there, but it seems to work a lot better than, I don't know what it should, but it definitely seems to spark the team to have that, you know, power speed threat at the beginning at the top of the lineup.
Yeah, and I think that's a credit to the all-around player that Tommy Pham has made himself into. Because he does have the speed factor that can be a jump start at the top of the order, but he also has hit a couple leadoff home runs. I mean, it's not as if the power has gone anywhere because he's at the top there, which I think is an interesting element to that, because we talk so much and we hear so much about how Matt Carpenter has shifted his approach based on where he's hitting in the lineup. I don't know that there's a lot of approach shifting with Tommy Pham. He just does what he does wherever he happens to be in the order, and that might be why it works so well for him. You know what you're getting when you put Pham in the lineup in any spot, and what he does, what you're getting, plays really well for this team right now in that leadoff role.
Yeah. So hopefully he doesn't, you know, hopefully he does heal up pretty quickly, and it's not an issue going forward. And hopefully it's not it'd be nice to think that he was at least somewhat available tonight. You know, as we go back a little bit to that spot, if Pham could have pinch hit for Walker there, you know, at least hit, and then, you know, maybe he comes out of the game. That could have been a key moment. It looks like we got an extra inning and a third out of Mr. Walker as Luke Gregerson now takes over with one out and six and a runner on. This should be fun. we'll see how this works out, I guess. The Cardinals have just—it's just been an interesting thing. But with all this going on, the Cardinals are still a first-place team. The Cardinals have won 4 in a row against Chicago teams, 2 against White Sox, 2 against the Cubs going in tonight. Like I said, they have a little bit easier schedule coming up. It feels like, like we said, this is not last year's team. This is a team that's got a little fight in it, and it's a team that is playing significantly better. I'm kind of glad we're not sitting around trying to figure out when they're going to break 500. It's a lot more fun to see them win more often, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot more fun to complain about the things they're doing while they're over 500 than to complain about why they're not at 500. No, you're right. This does, I think more and more, this feels like a very different team. And I don't know that I necessarily felt that way out of the gate with this team. There were so many things that were still a bit of a question mark. The fact that literally opening day, they were still trying to figure out what that bullpen was going to look like. And to some degree, they're still trying to figure that out with guys who have been on and off the DL and up and down from Memphis and, you know, in and out of the ninth inning. But there's something about this team that feels different, and you can make the case for the fact that what's different is that they're winning. But I think that, you know, it's sort of, they go, those things go hand in hand. A team that is winning is definitely going to have more of an edge and have more energy on the field and off. But I think that there's something about, we've talked for the last couple of years about how just awkwardly uncomfortable the team dynamic has been with this group of guys. And, you know, now you have Dexter Fowler and Marcell Ozuna and Colton Wong and Jose Martinez, kind of the guys that are a little bit looser, a little bit more on that sort of competitive edge than the stereotypical nice guys that the Cardinals have had around for so long. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I think the dynamic is very different. You're getting key contributions from guys that maybe you didn't necessarily expect to get key contributions from. And, you know, we still haven't seen this lineup really hitting at its best. So whereas at this point last year, we were not only trying to figure out how they could get back to 500, we were also looking at this roster going, well, they kind of are what they are. And at this point, I feel like we still have yet to see what this lineup is capable of, as well as, you know, some of the pitching that is at the minor league level that's just right there ready to contribute if and when they're needed.
Yeah, there's definitely possibilities that they haven't maxed out. That being said, and again, we've kind of talked a lot about injury already, we probably should talk about the elephant in the room, and that is the fact that Yadier Molina is going to be out for what they're saying is a month to 6 weeks. For Yadi is probably 10 days. He's going to do that.
So Albert, a couple days?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he's going to do that Albert Pujols thing where he, like, broke his wrist and he was back by the end of the 15-day DL, you know, something like that. It's shoddy, you know. But still, like Benji said in a tweet, you told the doctors he's going to have to hand, you know, they're going to cuff him down because he's going to keep doing. And he, I imagine he's probably already crouching down, and how that's even possible is beyond me. But still, they are going to be out with Molina for quite some time. And like you were saying, he's been that key to that offense. I don't know about key, but a significant part of it. I mean, 6 home runs already and hitting like a Yachty from 4 or 5 years ago. We get to see Carson Kelly, in theory, we get to see Carson Kelly for an extended period of time. He did not play today for various reasons. You can take them for what they're worth. Does this matter? I mean, we've not had a chance to see Carson Kelly to extend a period of time. He's hitting a little bit better in Memphis. But what does this do, not only offensively, but for a pitching staff that, you know, some of which are still working, used to working with Molina quite a bit, to have to adjust to Kelly, especially guys like Michaelis and Carlos Martinez, who didn't necessarily, you know, pitch to him in the minors. What is that going to matter? What's that going to do to that team dynamic?
Yeah, I think fortunately it's far enough into the season that someone like Mike Maddux is going to really be the go-between there. He'll be able to be that bridge, not because, you know, he has this long dramatic history with any of those guys either, but because, you know, he's been right there sort of in the trenches with Yadi every day with these guys as well as in spring training. So I would like to believe that there's not going to be that much of a drop-off as far as, you know, the knowledge that is given to Carson Kelly about the particular quirks of someone like Michaelis, or even of you know, the guys that he has seen more of. Carlos Martinez rather is working with some new pitches this year that you know, Kelly might not be quite as familiar with the game plan on some of those things. But he seems like he's a pretty good student of the game. This whole process is not new to Kelly, so it's not as if he's coming in and he doesn't know what his role is and he doesn't know how to get the job done. So it will be interesting to see, as like you mentioned, someone like Michaelis, who has been so good so far this year and seemingly has been able to, with Yachty, with Mike Maddox, really just come up with this. He used the term recipe the other day, and I don't know if he used it first or if Jim Hayes used it first in the interview, but I thought it was so appropriate for the way that he pitches, because he's able to sort of just tweak the recipe a little bit depending on who he's facing or what time through the order or if it's a lineup that's seen him before. And I have to believe that a lot of that is created with the help of Yadier Molina. Now, whether or not Carson Kelly can do that in a similar fashion, I guess we're about to find out. But that is something that this team needs to know about Kelly for whatever role he plays for the Cardinals moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, if Kelly is the heir apparent, and I think that's a little bit more questionable than it used to be, mm-hmm. given the contract extension for Yachty and the play of Andrew Kitzner. But if he is going to be that guy, yeah, this is the best time to find out if he is. And if he is that kind of guy, that means Yachty's going to heal up much faster, because we know Yachty does not want anybody taking his job. You know, he might get on Instagram and nobody wants that. So yeah, I think it's going to be very interesting to give Kelly this extended run and see what he's got. And I know there's going to be complaints anytime that he's not starting, and to be fair, I think there are legitimate reasons for that. I mean, he's not Yadier Molina. He's not going to necessarily start every game. He's not necessarily going to start the day games after night games. But if there's not a really good reason for Pena to play over this month, and he does, yeah, there's going to be some upset people. And I think, you know, we've seen a lot of questionable use of some players over the last week or two. You know, we had Austin Gomber come up, not even pitch, go back down. We saw Luke Voit get called up, not even getting at bat, go back down. We've seen, you know, Sam Tuilagalu has come off the DL and has yet to pitch. And that was, what, 3 or 4 days ago. Ryan Sheriff came off the DL at the same time. It's a little bit because winning is overshadowing some of this stuff. But it's still kind of feeling like there's not a real good idea of what's going on.
You mean you didn't like Carlos Martinez pinch hitting instead of Jed Jerko on Saturday night?
Yeah, and that made somewhat sense, because you'd rather have Jed Jerko in the eighth than Carlos Martinez. But the fact that there was such a short bench that Carlos Martinez actually was mm-hmm. an option, yeah, that's kind of iffy.
Right. No, there have been some weird things for sure. I mean, I think sending Ryan Sheriff back out for a second inning was questionable, because it's not really the role he was brought up for. I think what the organization is going to do with Sam Tuivailala is a huge part of what that bullpen ends up being, because for whatever reason, if he does not have the confidence of the manager, there's no real value for him being in that bullpen and being in a role that someone else could have that serves a better purpose. And those are just a few of the examples of things where there still seem to be these personnel decisions that are made, where there seems to be a bit of a difference in plan as far as the guy who's making the decisions about who's on the roster and the guy making the decisions about how to use them. You know, I think in every one of those situations, Mike Matheny would have an answer for you. Austin Gomber was there if they needed him, but the situation didn't arise where they did. Well, I think that a number of people could probably find scenarios where Gomber could have made that debut. Luke Voit came up, and that was just a weird sort of put somebody, a bat on the bench that you're not really going to use anyway. Maybe that was just Mike Matheny's way of insisting that he wanted his eight-man bullpen back. I don't know. Now he's got nine out there, so maybe he got what he wanted all along. But it is. It's been strange to see some of those personnel decisions, whether it's who stays up and who goes back down or how they're used when they're on the roster. And those are the kinds of things that were exceptionally frustrating last year when the team wasn't winning. You're right, though. When they're winning, it's a lot easier to kind of just forget that those things ever happened and bask in the glory of a Colton Wong walk-off, right, for example, and ignore all the things that happened leading up to that.
Yeah, I mean, you had two dramatic come-from-behind wins this week in the late innings, so, you know, people are going to be talking about that. They're going to be focused on that and not necessarily about some of the other stuff, but, of course, you know, the prospect guys like Kyle and guys like Joe Schwartz, who are very invested in Gomber's career, you know, there's arguments. I mean, you send Gomber down, and then 2 days, 3 days later, you're going to bring up John Gant to make a start.
Right.
You know, why? You know, I mean, I'm sure there's the idea that there's too much, you know, he's getting rusty or whatever, which is, you know, perhaps your problem. But still, I mean, you know, why do that instead of juggling around and then not be able to bring Gomber back up? And, you know, if nothing else, especially for Austin Gomber, the man has never pitched in the major leagues. You know, get him a spot where he can pitch an inning or a couple of batters or something. You know, Luke Voit had, you know, obviously he played last year, and I don't like to see him come up and not get a chance to contribute either. But, you know, just, you know, Austin Gomber becomes Moonlight Graham, we're in trouble, you know? I mean, you know, I'm not saying that Gomber won't be back, but who knows? I mean, he pull out his arm and, you know, or something happens and he never makes it back, and you know, he got that one, got that close and never actually got into a game. That would be pretty frustrating. I don't know. I feel like, to me, a situation like that, you find a spot for him, even if it is just one batter, if it's just something. Now, I agree, some of those games were very close, and, you know, it's hard to really find a spot, but, you know, for the fact that you keep, you know, needing a left-handed user, you keep going to Tyler Lyons or whatever, Gomber's good. I mean, if he wasn't, he wouldn't be here. You gotta put these guys in these situations, and I don't know. I just, that was really frustrating to me, just because guys getting a chance to make their major league debut is important, I think. And it's surprising, because it seemed like, especially with Tony Russo, and I think Mike Matheny has done that as well, when a guy got called up like that, like Luke Voit last year, like Harrison Bader last year, they were in the game that night. You know, whether it was starting or whether it was, you know, coming off the bench, they didn't wait around for them to make their debut. And so to have Gomber just kind of come up and, you know, sit on the bench for 3 or 4 days and then go back to Memphis is a bit frustrating. But, you know, I'm rambling. Sorry. anyway, I'm not sure what else, I mean, to talk about. We can also, I guess before we go, that we probably should touch on the Hall of Fame inductions that the Cardinals had this year. The Red Ribbon Committee selected Harry Breachin from the 40s, that era. And then the fans voted in Ray Lankford, which was no surprise, and Vince Coleman, which for me was quite a surprise, given who else was on the ballot. What did you think about those selections?
Oh, I think, honestly, I love seeing the reaction from fans to Ray Lankford. Just because it seems, you know, there are so many guys in sort of Cardinals lore that are such fan favorites. I mean, we've talked a lot about Willie McGee being back with the team and what a favorite he is. But then when you go back and look at Ray Lankford and the career he put up, the numbers, the places that he falls on sort of Cardinals and Major League Baseball leaderboards, it's remarkable that he doesn't have you know, a little bit more credit over the course of time than he has gotten. So I think the best thing for me has been watching fans who sort of grew up on Cardinals baseball with Ray Lankford watching and reacting to him finally getting the credit that he deserves. because there are, I feel like there's so many players, so many people in sports that are like that, that maybe don't get that sport-wide recognition. And for Langford to be the guy that because of the Cardinals Hall of Fame can sort of relive all of that and give everyone else a chance to relive his career as well it's been a lot of fun over the last few days. Well, really since the nominations were announced, to sort of go back and realize what a gem Langford was has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, the guy that really carried the 90s. I mean, you think about, you know, Ozzy was there at the beginning and McGuire was there at the end, but Langford was really a guy that carried the whole thing for the most part, and it is nice to, you know, have him get that kind of recognition. And I think it was one of those things, it was a slam dunk, and it's really the only question is why wasn't he on the ballot sooner? And I don't know that there ever is a really good answer for that, although, you know, for the most part, the ballots have been pretty strong, but there are a number of people he could have been on there ahead of. Like I said, Vince Coleman, obviously a key to those 80 teams, obviously a guy who had legendary speed. I don't know. I feel like he's a little bit more one-dimensional, and of course I was in the Scott Rolen camp, and, you know, get the whole MV3 except for Albert, who will be there soon enough. I was just a little surprised at that. That was the selection of the fans, but, you know, it's like I said, it was a deep ballot, and I don't know that you could have gone wrong with anybody. All right, anything else we should do with the Cardinals or have a runner on in the sixth? Because Jed Jerko is apparently determined to earn his way to playing more time. what do we do there? I mean, again, Carpenter has not hit well, but some of the underlying statistics and some of the new metrics and all that kind of stuff that Zach Gifford and all those guys understand, and I don't always, really seem to indicate that Carpenter's process is fine, that he's, you know, doing what he needs to do. He's just not hitting. They're catching the balls. And some one time that'll alternate. That'll even out, and things will start dropping. And you saw that ball that Schwarber should have hit last night, should have caught yesterday, and it turned into a two-run double. So maybe it's starting to. But you got to get Jerko in there, and obviously Wong's running pretty well right now. How do they manage all this?
Yeah, it's. The issue that you are presented with when Jose Martinez is one of the team's best hitters and one of the team's worst fielders, because as much as everyone wants to make Matt Carpenter the bottleneck, it really comes down to the fact that Jose Martinez is going to play every day. And if he's going to play every day, he's going to play at first base. And if he plays at first base, then you have three guys for two spots, and any one of them can be hot or cold at any given moment. So as much as I sorry, I'm watching game day.
And now we're all
did you notice the pause?
Because Colton Wong has just driven in something. We're both watching game day, so we don't know what happened.
Game play runs. Colton, come on now.
So something about Carpenter.
Jose Martinez. Well, obviously Colton Wong has to play right now because he's tearing it up. But it is a legitimate issue, and I think it comes down to the fact, it's a triple. RBI triple. All right, Colton, have a weekend. I do think that it's, like I said, the challenge is Jose Martinez, and they're not going to take him off the field. They're likely not going to take Matt Carpenter off the field because he's their guy. And unfortunately, that sort of makes Jed Jerko the odd man out, whether he should be or not. And while I think there's some validity to Jed Jerko as sort of that super utility guy that maybe doesn't have to start every day to provide a huge offensive boost. I think that when the guys that are starting ahead of him are struggling to the extent that Matt Carpenter has, it makes it really hard to justify Jed Jerko on the bench as often as he's there.
You know, that being said, I will say, you know, as you see tonight, and of course it wasn't necessarily a good matchup, but It's been a couple of times over the last week. They have benched Carpenter, which is a little bit more than we would have expected. I mean, there are years... I mean, you kind of expect Carpenter to play 150 games. And so to have him sit, you know, two times in a week or whatever it's been, is it doesn't seem like much, but it's something. I don't expect it to happen very often. But, you know, like you said, with Colton Wong apparently completely lighting his bat on fire, and Jed Jerko doing similar work, it becomes harder and harder to say, we're playing the hot hand, but that hot hand's not you. Well, it is. You know, why are these guys not in? Just because Matt Carpenter has maybe a better body of work in his career, or Jose Martinez has been one of the better hitters, although I'd have to look. He at one time was in a bit of a slump, and I think, you know, I think you've just got to be willing to bench a guy like Martinez when he's slumping, and then when somebody else is slumping, get him back in there. However, that's not necessarily a strength of the manager, I guess is the best way to put that. I don't think that we've seen that. That kind of creativity and that ability to balance playing time, you know, it's kind of one of those things we've talked about all year long, you know, kind of sometimes with the bullpen and sometimes other things. It's like, you should be able to do this, but we don't know that it can happen there. So, I don't know. It'd be kind of interesting to see as we go through this, especially this week with the Twins and the Padres and the Twins again, a little bit lesser competition. Do they try to take advantage of that and let Carpenter get a little bit, try to get him right in the cages or something like that? I don't know. I don't expect that they will, but it might be kind of interesting to see because, you know, like I said, you know, Jed Jerko tonight is what, 2-for-2 with a walk. You know, Colton Wong's 3-for-3 with a triple. It's difficult with these guys and the way they've played this weekend against significant competition. I mean, this isn't just them beating up on the Reds. I mean, this is them doing work against the Cubs. For that not to mean something, it's going against a lot of the talk that this team has put out.
Yeah, and that seems to be... I mean, look, it's not the first time we've seen this issue of guys playing when they shouldn't be. And it's not the first time it's been Colton. It's not the first time it's been Jed Jerko. It's just sort of they're the guys that get the short end of the stick at times. And, they're putting up numbers that are reasons for having them in the game. But it's just a matter of, somebody's always going to be the odd man out. And that's... not deciding who that is, like you said, not a strength of the manager.
Speaking of not strengths, as we're finishing recording here, Mike Matheny used Greg Garcia to force a pitching change so that he could get Tommy Pham in, which means that with like nobody on the bench, Greg Garcia didn't actually get to hit. And I mean, it's not that Greg Garcia is in any great shakes, although he's not a bad pinch hitter and everything like that. It's just the general fact that you don't have bodies to burn there.
So when Luke Weaver pinch hits later,
most likely will happen. Again, maybe it's because they've been winning, but it feels like the managerial decisions have not been quite as bash your head against the wall. This game seems to be making up for that quite quickly. I look forward to how you handle this tomorrow on About Last Night. I'm sure it'll be, besides the whole confetti throwing about a long right. triple.
It might just be that. Just be. Like 15 seconds of Colton Wong celebration and that's it. Move on with your life.
Pretty much. What else do you need? So... All right. Well, Tara and I will be back with you next week. Cardinals will be, like I said, playing the Twins, two more games in Busch, day off, and then a four-game set out in San Diego, which means we get those late nights, which I know Tara's looking forward to, so she can get up and do that. Yeah.
We'll see how many of those actually happen. Just going to throw it out there now.
Don't expect perfect attendance this week, folks. That's all we're saying.
Yeah.
Tara didn't quite think this whole thing out, when planning this whole thing.
Oh, I thought about it. I was just crazy enough to do it anyway.
Fair enough. So, Oh, me. All right. Well, like I said, we'll be back with you next week, hopefully talking about some good Cardinal wins, hopefully not talking about injuries, and we'll see how it goes. So for Tara, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.